We have been looking the last few weeks at the doctrine of salvation, our position in Jesus Christ, how wonderful it is to know that we are saved, how wonderful it is to know our sins are forgiven, and that we are on our way to heaven. And yet, sometimes people who have said, you know, I've put my faith in Christ, I've trusted Him, they don't feel secure. They feel that they can lose their salvation. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the certainty of salvation, that you can know for certain, and not just hope, but you can have for certain. But even so, some people say, well, yeah, I know that I've trusted Christ. I'm certain of that, but maybe I can lose it. Is there some way I can lose my salvation? And so today, we want to talk about security. Security and salvation. And I want to say that a born-again Christian salvation is secure. It's not something that you can lose. And we're going to look briefly at just some reasons this morning why this is true. First of all, we can know for sure we have this security because of the nature of salvation. The very nature of what salvation is itself. That is, we are saved by grace. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." In other words, we can't work our way to heaven. And now I know that comes as a shock to many people too, because they think, well, you know, I just need to work my way to heaven. I need to be good enough to get to heaven. And we get this idea, I remember as a boy having this idea almost in my head, that at the end of my life, I would stand before God and He'd look at my good deeds and He'd look at my bad deeds and He'd say, okay, now which one weighs the most? And if you're good enough, come on into heaven. And if you're not good enough, nope, you don't get to go to heaven, you get to go to hell. And that just subconsciously is the way many people think, if not outrightly. I work my way to heaven, or my goodness will get me to heaven and my badness will get me to hell. Paul says, no, it's not by works, it's by God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, he also said, "In Him, in God, we have redemption through His, Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sin." How? "According to the riches of His grace." Now, the Apostle Peter agreed. In Acts chapter 15, verse 11, he says, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." He says, we believe that it's God's grace that saves us Jews, as just as God's grace saves the non-Jew, the Gentile. And then later in his life, he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, "Of this salvation the prophets inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you." We are not saved by our works. We are not saved by anything we do. We are saved by God's grace. Now, I say it over and over, but it's something I want locked into our mind. What is grace? Grace is what we don't deserve. When we ask for God's mercy, we're saying, God, don't deal with me according to what I've done. But when we ask for God's grace, we ask, God, deal with me because you want to deal with me. Don't deal with me according to what I've done. In mercy, don't punish me for what I've done. Have mercy on me. But in grace, give me stuff that I don't deserve. So grace is receiving what we don't deserve. Theologically, they define grace as the free and unmerited favor of God. We don't earn it, it's free. We don't merit it. He gives it to us. Grace and works exclude one another. They contradict one another. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, "And if by grace, then it's no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work." They exclude. If you're saved by works, it's not by grace. If you're saved by grace, it's not by works. Our salvation is totally by God's grace. We don't deserve it. It's not some religious action we do that gives us salvation. It's not some good work we do that gives us salvation. It's by God's grace. Now, we trust Him, but that's all we do. We trust that He will do what He says He will do. And we are saved by grace. And once we're saved by grace, we are kept by grace. If I cannot earn my salvation by anything I've done, I can't lose my salvation by anything I've done. I wasn't saved by works, I was saved by grace. And I'm not kept by my works, I'm kept by grace. So since we cannot earn salvation by our works, we can't lose salvation by our works. And so we know that we are secure because of the very nature of salvation. Secondly, we know we are secure because of the product or the result of salvation. That is, what do we receive? Eternal life. 1 John 5:13. These things I have written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know what? That you have eternal life. Eternal life. Almost everybody knows John 3:16. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, that whoever believes in Him, Christ, should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, many things happened to us the moment we accepted Christ as Savior, the moment we put our trust in Him. And one of those things is that God gives us everlasting, eternal life. Now, think about that. What does that mean? The very definition of eternal and everlasting is, for one thing, it does not end. It doesn't end. If it could end, it wouldn't be eternal. If it had an ending, it's not everlasting. And Jesus went on to say, he who believes in Him, in Christ, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, Jesus tells us that the moment we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we already have eternal life, and we are not condemned, and we'll never be condemned. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's not that one day in the future you're under God's condemnation. You're already under God's condemnation. And the only thing that's separating you from fulfilling those results is that He gives you a chance in this life to come to know Him as Savior. If you don't and you leave this life, you'll see that condemnation. You'll understand it. But He declares us already, if we accept Christ, as having eternal life. Matter of fact, later in the same chapter, John chapter 3, drop down to verse 36 if you have your Bibles there. It goes on to say, he who believes in the Son has, not will have, has, present tense, everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Not will abide, you're already under the wrath of God, the anger of God. He's just withholding, bringing it in full force, giving each of us a chance to come to know Christ as Savior. So, when we accept Christ as Savior, it's not that one day in the future He will give us eternal life, but if we bub up, He won't give it to us. No, He's already given us eternal life. And He won't take it away, or it wasn't eternal to begin with. It was short term. Well, I have eternal life, but if down the road I bub up, I'll lose it. Well, then it wasn't eternal, was it? It was only short term. Since salvation gives us eternal life, which cannot end, then salvation cannot end or be lost either. We're secure. Thirdly, we are secure in Christ because of the new relationship of salvation. The new relationship. What's that? We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God as his down payment or earnest. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, speaking says, "Who also has sealed us," God has sealed us, "and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Let's think that through. The instant we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, God the Father seals us with the Holy Spirit. Well, why? We have to go back and understand the first century world. A seal. Well, I'm sure you're kind of familiar with this. They would take hot wax. Let's say you have a document, and they put the document together, and they pour that hot wax upon it. Then they take a seal, and they stamp that hot wax and remove it. And now you have that seal on there. And it would dry, and it would be there. Now, why did they seal a document or seal something? For two purposes. First, it showed ownership. The person is saying, "This is mine." And secondly, it showed protection. My authority is behind it. My protection is behind it. The Holy Spirit of God has been given to us as a seal. Why? Because God's saying, "You belong to me. You're mine. I'm sealing you, showing that you are my possession. And secondly, I'm sealing you to show, because you're my possession, I am protecting you." When we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell within us. And God says he sealed us. He is our guarantee. He's our guarantee that God's dependable, that he will accomplish everything he's promised that he will accomplish. I kind of like the way the Old King James puts it. The Old King James renders this verse like this: "He has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart." Have you ever heard of earnest money or an earnest down payment? In business, if a person is going to make a major purchase, a major transaction, let's say a real estate purchase, he might put down earnest money or an earnest payment toward that purchase. It showed that he's serious. Let's say you're going to purchase a piece of property that's worth $150,000. And you were to go in and say, I want to purchase this. I don't have the $150,000 maybe right now, but here is $20,000 down. That's your earnest money. It's showing that you're serious. You're going to complete the transaction. Now, for years, it may not be this way always today, but for years, if that person decided to change his mind and go back on his decision, "I'm not going to go through and purchase the property," you lost your earnest money. You would lose that $20,000 because you'd put it down saying, "I'm in good confidence." God is saying to us, the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell within us the moment we accept Christ, he is God's earnest down payment of all that he's promised he's going to do in our lives. It's unthinkable that God is going to lose his earnest, that he's going to lose the Holy Spirit by backing out of our salvation transaction. So since God the Father has given us the indwelling Holy Spirit as his earnest down payment to guarantee our salvation, then he's not going to break his contract, and we're not going to lose our salvation. Fourthly, our salvation is secure because of the new family we have, or the new family relationship we have. We are now children of God. John writes in 1 John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him," Jesus Christ, "to them he gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." So when you trust Jesus as your Savior, you become God's child. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You must be born from above. When we're born into this world, we're born physically. But that's not enough to get into heaven, into God's presence. We need to have a spiritual birth, a heavenly birth, a second birth. And when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we are born into His family. We become His children. Guess what? We can't be unborn. Now, in this life, you might find somebody who gets so mad at their children, they say, "I'm disinheriting you," or "You're no longer my child." Okay, they say that, but is that still their child? Yes. They can't be unborn. You may not give them everything you'd want to give them. You might not be happy with them with everything, but they're not unborn. In this life, as children of God, if we get out of God's will, He will chasten us. He will, in the old-fashioned word, He would spank us. He'll take us behind the woodshed. He will deal with us not because He's angry with us and wants to punish us, but because He wants to bring us back into fellowship with Him and give us what's good for our lives. He's wanting to correct us, just like we correct our children in love. But He does not make us unborn. We'll always be His children. That's why He deals in our lives. So since we are born into God's forever family at the moment of salvation, and we can't be unborn, we won't lose our salvation. We're secure. Fifthly, we're secure because of the power of salvation. We looked at this briefly a couple weeks ago. We are kept in the hands of God. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, "I give them eternal life." Notice again, eternal life. "And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." He says, "I've given them eternal life." You have eternal life. You'll never perish. Man, that's good enough. But they put it even further. He says, "You're in my hand. I'm holding on to you. And you're in my Father's hand." What a place of security. We are kept safe from in the all-powerful hands of Almighty God. No one can tear us out of God's hand, and He's never going to let us go. No wonder that Paul had absolute confidence that his soul was eternally saved. We notice our scripture reading this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him until that day." I know I'm safe in God's hand until that day. What day? And the day I make a mistake? No. What day is Paul speaking of? Well, if you read through Paul's epistles, he likes to use that term, "that day," over and over again. And he's referring to the time when Jesus Christ comes in the air to take us to be with Him. We call it the rapture, the return of Christ in the air, when we're caught up. So he's saying, "I know that He will keep what I've given to Him, my soul, safely until the day of the rapture." Well, guess what? I don't know anyone who thinks you can lose your salvation after you're already in heaven with God. And so if we're kept safe until we're caught up to be with Him in heaven, and then we're kept safe after we're with Him in heaven, we're secure all the time. We can't lose our salvation. And since we are kept secure by God Himself, we can't lose it. One more point. We are secure, sixthly, because of the promise. The promise of salvation. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10 say this: "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Then verse 13: "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Not might or possibly, but shall be. That's God's promise. How are we saved? Well, Pastor, we're saved by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting in Him. Well, what's the easiest way to know you've done that? Well, I asked Him to save me. I called upon him and said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I know I can't make it to heaven on my own. I know that you, being God, dear Jesus, died in my place and paid for my sins in full. I know these things. And because of that, I trust you to save me. I ask you to be my Savior. And we call upon him, and he answers us and he saves us. That's his promise. And we have God's promise that he will save us. And that's not a partial promise. He gives us his word. Does God ever lie? The Bible tells us God can't lie. It's against his nature. And so when we call upon his and upon him, he saves us, and God doesn't break his word. Since God promises to save those who call upon him in faith, then we can't lose our salvation because God doesn't lie. So let's think about this as we close. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've trusted in him, you can't lose your salvation. Because if you can lose your salvation, then salvation is not by grace. You can't lose your salvation because if you could, salvation is not eternal. You can't lose your salvation because if you did, then God would lose his down payment of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to do that. You can't lose your salvation because as a child of God, you can't be unborn. You can't lose your salvation because you're kept by God and God is all powerful. And you can't lose your salvation because God has promised to save you. And if you could, then God would be a liar. No. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your salvation's secure. Now, that does not mean you're just going to live for the devil. Because if you accept Christ, you're going to want to live for him. You're not going to disobey him all the time because God will deal with you. But it does mean that even when we fail him, that we need to just get back up on our feet, ask his forgiveness, and go on, because we're still saved. And we can rest in that. And we can serve him in that. It also means that if you've never accepted Christ as Savior, the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. And you just need to accept him and him alone as your Savior. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you that not only can we know for certain that we can be saved, but dear Lord, that after we accept Christ, we can be sure that we are saved. And that we're on our way to heaven. We don't have to live in doubt and in fear. We just need to live in fellowship and enjoy what you've given to us. Help us to share that message with others. Help others to know Christ as Savior. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me and let's close with a song. Let's sing it out and praise to God. Amazing Grace. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.